Welcome to this week's podcast, and today we're talking with the wonderful Lillian Flynn. Hey, how are you doing?
Hi, Rob, how are you?
I'm great. It's good to see you.
You too.
So it's great to have you here today, and you're quite new as a coach. You trained with us maybe a year ago, is that right?
That's right, yeah, I qualified last year.
Brilliant. So what have you been doing since you qualified?
So it's kind of been a bit of a mixed bag. Initially, when I started the diploma, I had hoped to have a private practice and do that 5 days a week, build up to that.
Yeah.
And then once I qualified as a coach, it just opened so many doors and different opportunities.
Oh, wow. Like, give us an example.
So one story was I had applied for a course it was mindfulness and coaching for youth and unemployability in Europe.
Okay.
So it's kind of a non-formal education. Mm. And when I applied to be a participant on the course, and they saw that I had qualified as a coach, they actually asked me would I be a trainer on the programme.
Oh, wow.
So it was something that I hadn't planned, and it just took me on a completely different trajectory.
Amazing.
Yeah, so I've been kind of in different parts of Europe doing that.
So you've been, so from finishing as a coach, training as a coach, and looking to do coaching, you started doing training.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's been really exciting. And I also got involved with a project that goes into schools on a volunteer basis.
Okay.
And coaches at-risk teenagers.
Ah, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
So on one of our other podcasts, we were talking with Kevin Mascarenhas, and he had set up a program with coaches working with at-risk young people as well, and just talking about what a wonderful experience it was, not only for the coaches, but for the young people as well. So how do you find that work?
I love it because I really feel that the techniques I've used in coaching and how it's changed my own life and relationships, I think if we get in at the grassroots and really help children on the way up, even my own background as a teacher, I think this is the kind of thing we need to be teaching children in school.
Okay.
So that they really have those tools and that emotional intelligence to be able to navigate through life.
Brilliant. So are you still doing any teaching work?
I do the odd day here and there in schools. I actually last year opened a company called Education Collective, and it's for teacher recruitment, but it also deals with training, so mindfulness training, positive psychology, and tools for coaching for teachers and for children.
Wow, so this is a huge... So
yeah, it's exploded.
So tell me a little bit about the journey of that, I suppose. So what got you into Animus in the first place?
So I was, as I said, I was teaching at the time, and as much as I loved being a teacher, I just felt that what inspired me most was talking to the children about how they could achieve their dreams. And I think the education system is so focused on academics that there was no room for really teaching them about emotional intelligence.
Okay.
Or not even emotional intelligence, the different types of intelligence there are. So it was kind of very based on language and mathematics.
Yeah. Okay.
So that maybe children who didn't feel that they excelled in those areas felt that they were either stupid or that they wouldn't achieve things in life.
Right.
And I just felt there was so much emphasis on those areas that there wasn't room. So it was just actually, I hadn't thought about coaching up until that point. And I was walking home one day, and it was just a eureka moment that I decided I wanted to be a coach. And when I had that moment, it was like, why had I not thought about this before? It just felt so right.
Brilliant. And had you come into contact with coaching before that point, that moment?
I actually have an aunt who's a coach at home. And she had trained maybe 4 or 5 years previous.
Okay.
But when she told me she was a coach, I was kind of like, oh, what's that about? And I had a listen, but it didn't spark anything in me. And it wasn't, it was just at that point. I remember I'd traveled before, and I bought this little plaque, and it said, if you are what you should be, you will set the world on fire. And I really believe everyone has something that sets them on fire and makes them excited and passionate.
Wow.
And I just never felt that I found that up to that point.
Mm.
And when I realised that I wanted to be a coach, it was just, that's it. It's just something clicked. It was just like, this is it.
Amazing. So let me see if I've got this right. So you went from being a teacher, hearing about coaching, training to become a coach. How did you find Animus?
So I was at the bus stop, bag was full of books over my thing, and I realised I want to be a coach. It was just boom. And I put into Google, I think it was, coaching in London. And Animus popped up, and they had an open day, I think, 2 weeks later. So I put in the information and applied to go on the open day. And usually me as a person, if I want to do something, I like, if it's, whether it's holidays, whether it's doing a course, I will research and I find out. I'll get people who did it before and I'll find out everything about it before I make a final decision.
Yeah.
And I went to the open day and I'd say I was there maybe 10 or 15 minutes and I was like, this is the skill.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. So you do the open day, you begin the training. How did you find that?
The training itself.
Yeah.
I loved it. The first day I went in, and there's always that, I think when there's something you're really excited about, there's always that mix of excitement and nervousness.
Yeah.
And just the idea of what's to come. And we kind of set in a horseshoe shape, I remember that morning, and we all went around, the trainer went around and asked each person what had brought them to this place and what they hoped to get. And I think I was probably maybe fourth or last on that horseshoe. And I just remember sitting there thinking, wow, all of these people, nothing exactly the same as me, but it was that feeling of being in a place where everyone had a goal of helping people. It wasn't, everyone wasn't going around saying, oh, I heard you make loads of money from this, or I want to, you know, it was kind of, everyone had this thing where they wanted to create change. And it was all came from a place of caring about other people.
Yeah.
And I just remember feeling, this is it.
Awesome. So you do the training, you finish, you qualify, and then what happens?
So you have, kind of to digress, in the training, the first weekend, the trainer says, okay, now you have some of the tools to go out and coach. And it's that scary feeling of, oh, I actually have to go out and do this with a real person. And you have that journey from starting off as a complete novice.
Yeah.
Well, I was anyway. And having that journey where you do the practice hours and, you know, it's a very nurturing environment to do that. And there is that moment when you qualify of being, thinking, I actually have to go out and do this for myself. I want to create a business from this. And that can be quite different. It is definitely a change from, you know, being in that safe cocoon of practicing and being, you know, a coach and training.
Yeah.
To being like, okay, I'm an actual coach now. I need to go out and make a business from this. So again, I got my first clients came from referrals from people I had practiced with. And I think it's a big learning curve. So I won't say that's easy and you go out there really confident in the first few weeks after you qualify. It takes time, it takes learning, it takes knockback. Sometimes you'll be talking to someone and you really feel, oh, this is someone I'm going to have as a client.
Yeah.
And then they go away and change their minds. And I just think it's about being resilient.
Okay, because I was just about to ask you, how do you deal with the knockbacks? And then you talked about resilience. So tell me a little bit more about yourself and resilience.
I think it's the perception of what a knockback is.
Okay.
So as a coach, I'm really passionate about like paradigms and changing how we perceive things.
Mm.
So part of training with Animus and being a coach helped me to learn that about myself.
Okay.
And it's this idea that, you know, when someone rejects you or says no, they're not rejecting you as a person or who you are at your core. It's just maybe they're not ready for coaching. Maybe you're not the right coach for them. And if that is the case, then it's best that they find another coach and you don't work together. So I think it's just really reframing it and thinking, okay, maybe now is not the right time. Maybe I'm not the right coach. And just going on with your journey and trusting that the next person you meet or the person after that, eventually you will get clients.
Awesome. And you said there that you get a lot of your clients through referrals.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a particular process or a way of asking for referrals from your clients?
Well, towards the end of my practice sessions, I did say to the clients, if you know anybody who would get value from the service or you think I could help, I would appreciate you passing on my name. And that's what happened. And what I find is people talk. So if you meet someone and they help you in some way, or not even that, you facilitate that growth in that person and it changes their life, they're going to tell other people about it. They're going to want to help, or they're going to tell their friends. And I think from that then, people get in touch.
Brilliant. So you've just got people getting in touch with you.
Yeah.
Awesome. So do you have a website?
I don't. And I do plan on having a website. And I do eventually think I will have a niche. But for me, there's a lot of talk around having a niche as a coach, and I do believe it's really important. For me, this first year on my journey as a coach, I feel it's an incubation period.
Nice.
And I really want to, there's a wonderful quote by Rumi that says, respond to every call that excites your spirit. And I just really feel that that's what this year and this time in my life is about. It's about really everything that you're kind of interested in, work with different clients. And I feel after that year, naturally you'll feel, okay, this is my niche. These are the people I enjoy working with. These are the people I attract. Rather than picking a niche and having a website from a headspace of feeling I have to do it in terms of marketing, I want it to be really authentic.
That's really lovely. I know that a lot of coaches get caught up in this idea that in order to to get clients, they have to have a niche. And
yeah.
what I'm hearing from you, it's more about the way that you're working with your clients and them telling their friends or colleagues, and that's what's attracting people to you.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think we have this, not everybody, but I know I certainly did have this vision of when I signed up for the diploma that, okay, I want to be a coach. At the end of this diploma, within a few weeks, maybe I'm going to have this practice and I'm going to be working 5 days a week and have loads of clients. And this was the vision.
Mm.
And then when I got to the end of it and that wasn't the reality straight away, it's allowing yourself and giving yourself permission to be saying, it doesn't have to be the way you envisioned it. What do you want now? What do you want in this moment?
Lovely.
And then you realise if you let go and kind of surrender to it, and things naturally take place. You naturally meet people that want to be coached, and it flows.
Lovely, lovely. So you went, so we got teacher, bus stop, Googling, coaching training, finishing coaching, getting referral clients, setting up your own company.
Yeah.
So the recruitment company.
Yeah, that's called Education Collective. Yeah.
Education Collective, working in schools.
Yeah.
What else are you doing?
So I'm also doing a master's, a science master's in positive psychology and coaching psychology.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm training to be a hypnotherapist as well.
So how did those two things come about?
I've always loved learning. I love learning. I love reading. It's one of my passions.
Mm.
And I just, through the diploma, some of those kind of light bulb moments where you're just like, wow, you know, you learn something and it's not overly complicated. It's actually quite simple. But it's once you see it, it just kind of lit this spark in me to want to know more about human behaviour, what makes us tick, and really how to help people, I suppose, overcome perceived limitations.
Wow, brilliant.
Yeah, it's been exciting.
So tell me a bit about, so you're doing the positive psychology.
Yeah.
And you're doing the NLP.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a bit about the positive psychology first. How are you finding that? What are you getting from that?
So positive psychology, I think, really complements the coaching. It kind of has this premise that it's not that we go around thinking positive, happy thoughts all the time. We're always smiling. Mm. It's this idea to have a positive mindset, or to flourish, as we would call it, that it's accept that we have ups and downs. And part of the human experience is to have insecurities and to have fears.
Okay.
And it's helping people, rather than traditional psychology, it looks at pathology and what's wrong. Positive psychology looks at what's going right and how you can build on that.
Okay, a bit like sort of those strength finders and
that kind of stuff. It's working towards those. It's what's gone good already and how can you use that to help you flourish in all areas.
Brilliant. And I can see how you might wrap that into the coaching work that you do by looking at what your client's already doing well and where they're successful.
Yeah, it's what we do as coaches. It's looking at, okay, what's going right? How can we get you from here to where you really want to be? Or use those strengths to help you and to build on them.
Brilliant.
And it's what kind of all marries in together.
Yeah. And the NLP, how does that sit with it?
So the hypnotherapy and NLP really works with the subconscious mind.
Mm.
So it's kind of really delving into some of those things that we believe about ourselves. So some of those things, those self-limiting beliefs that we have and how they affect our behaviours in the world. So it's really helping someone to access that stuff.
Yeah. So I do love a bit of NLP and hypnotherapy, but I recognise that NLP can be a little bit more directive than coaching might seem to be. And I'm just curious about how do you marry those two things together?
I think you really have to, when a client comes, it's good to have that knowledge and to have those tools, but you really have to meet the person sitting in front of you, and not only meet the person, but in that moment meet the person.
Yeah.
So it's not going in with a prescribed script and saying, okay, this person needs NLP or hypnotherapy or coaching. It's trusting your intuition and sitting there with that person, exploring what comes up in the moment. And if you feel in that moment that NLP is the best tool to use to help them, go ahead and use it.
Mm.
If it's NLP, if it's the techniques that we use in coaching,
yeah.
I just think it's drawing on all of those different areas and to be able to help the client.
How does that show itself in contracting with your client?
So I would contract with the clients. I would tell them the tools I have, what my qualifications are. And some clients might come and say, I only want coaching, I don't want hypnotherapy.
Mm.
So they might have a preconceived idea of what hypnotherapy is, and again with NLP, so they would be like, I just want coaching. So I would say, these are the services I have to offer. We can mix between each one, or we can just stick with coaching or stick with hypnotherapy. But again, we can contract at the beginning, but that might change through the journey with a client. So maybe a few sessions in, they might be like, actually, maybe there's a trust and a rapport built. And they might be like, actually, tell me a bit more about this hypnotherapy. And then we can explore that further.
That's great to hear that that change is possible, and because we often talk about recontracting with our clients, and I think there's something lovely about laying down all the things that are possible, beginning where they want to begin, as you say, meeting them where they are, and then as time goes on and they trust you more and they understand how you work more, then they go, okay, let's draw on these different strands of the things that you do.
Definitely.
So this year you spoke about, it's about incubation. And is there a kind of a, where it's going after incubation for you?
Yeah, I definitely think I want to really try and get it coaching into schools. So again, at that grass level roots in some way, whether that's going in coaching children separately or trying to incorporate it into the classroom curriculum. So that's something I'm really excited about, emotional intelligence, coaching techniques in schools and educational facilities. I'm also liking the variety with different clients. I'm enjoying the training, workshops, all of those things. So I think it's just about really helping people in any way I can, using those coaching techniques to do that.
Awesome. I know that I loved working in schools. So you know, before I became a coach, I was an actor and a drama practitioner. I went into schools, and when I learnt my first coaching skills, I took those into schools as well. And I, you know, found that really useful, especially working with young people that would seem to be the challenging ones, and how responsive they were to being listened to.
Exactly.
So there's something wonderful about going back into schools and doing that work.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. And I also, it's my own personal belief that, you know, we can have this big plan of what we want. Like I said at the beginning, I had this idea of what I was going to do as a coach.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we need to let go, you know, follow what you love, you know, take the opportunities that make you feel excited, and just see where it leads. I know I do believe you have to have a plan, but I think keep it loose. You don't need to kind of say in 5 years, this is where I need to be.
Yeah.
You have this roadmap of where you would like to be, but I think it's okay to verge off, and you don't know where those little side streets are going to take you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Fabulous. It just sounds so exciting. You just sound so passionate about what you're doing. It just makes me want to go, I want to come and play too. I want to join in with you. Do you work with others, or is it just you in your business?
The one-on-one coach, there are other people involved in the business and the training. The one-on-one clients will be just me and the clients, obviously. Yeah, I just think that from the people I've met around the world, I've travelled around the world, and I love people, and I love different cultures, and I love hearing people's story. And the one thing we all have in common is our humanity. And we all have dreams, and we all have desires and goals, and we're all vulnerable, and we all have insecurities. And I just think that life is too short not to do what you love. And I think that thing that sets you on fire, we all have that, but sometimes we're afraid, or we don't think we're good enough, or we don't think we can do it. And I just think coaching for me puts me in a position, not that I can light that fire in people, but I can facilitate. And to be there to witness that happening in someone else is just, to me, the most beautiful thing you can do. To sit there and witness someone, to give someone your ear and to really listen. That's another thing we learn on the diploma that completely changed my life. I love to talk and I love people. And then all of a sudden you realise, just to sit there silently without an agenda and to listen to someone, it's one of the most beautiful gifts you can give them.
Brilliant. That's just wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. So if people want to get hold of you, if they want to find you, how do we find you?
So my website is Lillian, Lillian Flynn.com, www, I should add. you can get me on Facebook, Lillian Flynn, and my email is lillianflynn@gmail.com.
Lillian, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Cheers.